Baruch Hashem Adonai. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, married to my very best friend and teacher of God's Word, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, shalom, and may the Lord grant you special favor tonight for joining us in our look at some headlines and how it coincides with biblical prophecy. Later, we'll be looking at Daniel 7, but first, a great descriptive word for these days is the word chaos, or perilous times that 2 Timothy 3:1 promises will come in the last days, and even more so as we see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25. You know, every week chaos continues and is certainly not slowing down all around the world, setting the stage for the one who will seemingly have all the answers on how to fix it and set up a united one-world religion and a global society where everyone just gets along like a heaven on earth. Anyway, dear, will you ask our real Heavenly Father's blessing on tonight's program?
I sure will. Abba, Father, your word promises that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Give us the mind of Christ that we will have discerning wisdom to indeed fulfill your purpose and to not lean into our own understanding that can and often does misdirect our path. We agape you and pray for those who are called by your name for a deeper walk and divine protection from the God of this world. And may you show extra favor to our lost loved ones, doing whatever it takes to free their souls and bring them into salvation of your Son, Yeshua. And it's in his name we ask for your blessing on tonight's program. Amen.
Amen and alleluia to the Lord. By the way, that Greek word you just heard for the highest form of love, agape love, I'm so glad to use that tonight, honey, in that prayer. And our Father in heaven agapes his children and deserves all our praise. Really.
Okay, let me see. Where should we begin tonight? The RNC, maybe?
Okay, but it's only the second day. But I did think the speakers last night were really good, with the exception of a stupid problem for Melania Trump that the left will haunt her with for a long time. And that is, she did use some phrases that were used by Michelle Obama at the DNC in 2008, which, with all our sophisticated computers, should have been caught beforehand.
Oops. That certainly was unfortunate.
Right. But, you know, she did have help putting it together, as they all do. So I can see Trump probably rolled some heads today. Also, they had a contentious start at the onset. Some desired a vote to change the rules, but it descended into a shouting match between the pro and anti-Trump delegates. But then, after a two-hour delay, they could not get the seven states needed for a roll call. So it was ended. But most are saying that some arm twisting was done behind the scenes during those 2 hours because supposedly there was nine states.
Surprise, surprise. Okay, how's Israel doing these days?
Well, you know, not bad. They're holding their own, watching closely for sophisticated drones now that try to enter Israel's airspace, especially over the Golan Heights, to kind of tangle up the airwaves, you know, to misdirect Israeli planes, and probably why just yesterday two of Israel's Patriot missiles, they actually veered off course and ended up smashing into each other. So, not a good thing.
No.
And Israel, naturally, is closely watching what happens in Turkey after the failed coup by the military. But they are friends again, as of a few weeks ago. So we'll see if they get any blame for the coup, as Washington certainly is from President Erdogan.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the reason for the attempted coup?
Well, a good number of Turks really dislike President Erdogan. They feel that he's become more of an authoritarian and was just going way too far in Muslim ideology. You know, before Erdogan was president, Turkey had a secular government, and its society could practice their own religion, but religion was not to enter the political arena. And as a staunch Muslim, Erdogan was incorporating even aspects of Sharia law. You know, he really is a thug, and we know he did help ISIS by purchasing its stolen oil finds as they conquered those Middle Eastern cities.
Hmm. But is the coup really over?
The coup?
Yeah, the coup.
Yeah, right.
Did I say coup?
Yep. Anyway, time will tell, but there are reports yesterday that the militaries, now that's who did the coup, their 42 Turkish Air Force planes have vanished with the crews. And so has the pair of F-16 warplanes, which bombed Parliament in Ankara, which nearly intercepted the incoming plane carrying President Erdogan back home Saturday as soon as he heard what was going on, for he had been vacationing not too far away. But Erdogan is still urging his loyal citizens to continue turning out in town squares to support the government, just in case the coup threat is not over. You know, after Erdogan closed the airspace, hundreds of his police descended Monday on the that big airbase called Incirlik, and that houses our U.S. jets, you know, to carry out airstrikes over Syria and Iraq, and along with thousands of U.S. Air Force personnel and their families, who are all reported, as far as we know, as being safe. And at least 8,000 suspected police officers were suspended by Erdogan and forced to hand over their weapons. And a sweeping purge of all state institutions are still underway. So he's cracking the whip.
Yep.
But anyway, before we continue, let's remind our listeners how they can contact Shofar Ministries.
Okay. By email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message at 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please prayerfully consider any love offering which is needed and greatly appreciated. And we'll automatically put you on our mailing list for any news updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, that contains many ways to expand your learning, especially on basic Hebraic roots. And they're really not that hard. And all the past radio programs and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And remember, the first Friday of every month at 7 p.m., we will be at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio. And as always, with a timely message.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's change gears a little bit. Mm-hmm. As you know, Britain has chosen to leave the European Union to be a sovereign country. And, of course, the EU is not happy. And revenge is not above them, I assure you. We also know that Britain was not the only country that wants to break its ties. Just the only one who began the ball rolling. From what I read, more than half of the voters in France also want to leave the EU.
Yeah, they call it, is it Frexit?
Frexit.
Frexit.
The only reason we are even bringing this up is because France has seen three serious terrorist attacks within 18 months.
Maybe that's a warning, you think?
Thanks for that segue question. And yes, I do. Perhaps it was purposely organized as a serious warning on just how much France really needs the EU and NATO.
For protection insurance, so to speak, kind of like the mafia used to do. You know?
Right, and you know, even people these days, it's a good possibility that these very serious attacks were instigated and planned by the global mafia elite to stop France from even thinking anymore about leaving the EU, especially since the EU will no longer have $35 million per week to work with and to maintain NATO, which they were getting from Britain. Mm-hmm. So these are serious, and there could be more in store for France or other countries who might be thinking of leaving the EU.
Like maybe targeting some bank executives.
Well, that is possible because in the 1990s, the Charcot banking family were all strangled to death at their French Riviera vacation home because they would not relinquish the control of their five banks to the EU during the banking reorganization. And that was just prior to the formal rollout of the EU financial system. So, the recent terror attacks in France could just be a reminder about that protection insurance, like you said, by remaining in the EU.
Yeah, these types of events are also called false flags, I believe.
Right. But not that they didn't really happen with real lives lost, but rather, who are the real perpetrators? Not just the ones you see, but those behind the scenes who work in the dark world. As well, some unknown actors are employed to play a part, and they're paid well to embellish and make it look even worse. Really, I got to tell you this. I actually saw a video of some actors carrying a so-called severely injured man from that Orlando massacre who, when far enough away from the TV cameras, he was put down, and then he ran away from the area.
Little did he know, a man with a cell phone caught it all on tape.
That's right. And I don't know if you can still see it, because they usually take that stuff off the web pretty quickly. But it was a correct scene. I saw it with my own eyes. It had that gay bar, the pulse sign, shown in the background.
We do have a couple of obvious clues to look for that would constitute a false flag event.
Yes, we do. You know, usually there is a recent previous drill or rehearsal preceding the attack that's closely associated with the same nature of the false flag event. Case in point, in Dallas police shootings, there was the same type of drill preparation in Argyle, Texas, just 41 miles north of Dallas, just 3 weeks prior to the murdering of the five officers. Another clue is most often he's a lone perpetrator, as in JFK and RFK and even Martin Luther King, and quickly killed so they can never be coerced into telling the truth. Then, soon after, they will find a diary or a manifesto which states his murderous intentions, and then labeling him as being mentally unstable. So the event can be referred to as a random act of insane violence, or, as in the case of Fort Hood, workplace violence, or more prevalent these days, they are being linked to ISIS, since they want us all to fear terrorism to take more of our liberties away.
That's interesting, because the Dallas shooter, Micah Johnson, was quickly killed.
Yeah, and they said he had a manifesto with stated intentions.
I will read what the L.A. Times reported.
Oh, good idea.
Investigators have discovered bomb-making materials, rifles, and a personal journal, journal of combat tactics in Micah's home. He was 25, a Dallas resident, was a loner with no criminal history who wanted to kill white people and especially white police officers.
Right, and we should note that Johnson was not a man of many means. Where did he get the money to acquire such a vast amount of military hardware? You know, I think it would be wise for us to read that quote that I've got written. It's right over there from Hermann Göring during the Nuremberg trials.
Right.
You want to read that?
Sure. Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia, nor in England, nor in America, nor for that matter in Germany. That is understood. But the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they're being attacked and denounce the pacifist for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country.
Yeah, that's what he said. His name again is Hermann Göring during the Nuremberg trials, and I guess he was a pretty bad dude.
He was a bad Bama Jamma. Yes, he was.
Okay, so we see history repeating itself. Now let's look at 9/11. Let me ask you, did you think it curious that soon after they miraculously discovered Mohammed Atta's passport, despite the fact that neither of the two planes had their black boxes found? Come on, really? That found passport served the purpose of a diary with stated terrorist intentions, placing the blame on Muslim terrorists to cover up the fact that this was a pre-planned false flag event. So, to implement the Patriot Act and invade Iraq to punish Saddam. Oh, no, not for the reasons they give you or gave us, but because he was about to stop selling his oil in U.S. petrodollars. And that's a no-no to the rich globalists who take orders from the Jesuit-controlled CIA who own the Federal Reserve. And, you know, Gaddafi of Libya, he had wanted to plan, actually, to do the same thing. And today, Russia, China, and Iran are slowly moving away from the dollar as well. So what do you think these demonic globalists have planned for that? I pray the bride is not here to see it. Because the bottom line is this world's shadow government wants a third world war. And steps are right now being implemented for them to achieve their goals. And Trump will probably help them do that in the name of destroying ISIS. Did you notice last night he came on stage first appearing as a shadow? Like shadow government? That stood out to me like an open book. Anyhow, be as it may, the next step to stop the dissidents is what they want to do. They got to round up the troublemakers and confiscate the weapons. You know, history has seen it done before. And there is nothing new under the sun, except when Jesus comes, who will rid the world of its evil and rule and reign as the real king from Jerusalem. But first, he will gather his bride with the shout of the last shofar, as we will meet him in the clouds in the second heaven, to be escorted by him and all the angels to meet the Father at his throne. And we read that in Daniel 7, 9 through 14. So if you have your Bibles open to that, it says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. That's the Father. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. This, of course, is similar to Ezekiel's vision. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. This would be the book of life and the book of remembrance for our rewards, because we're there. And let's go on. I do want to mention that, remember, the last half of the book of Daniel is apocalyptic. So in the next two verses, Daniel sidesteps and he changes theaters for just two verses as he gives us a glimpse of what's happening down on earth at the end of the tribulation. So I'll go ahead and read that. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. That's the Antichrist. I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, or rulers, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And the reason for that is just a short set time to the season between Yom Kippur and Tabernacles, because it's the sheep and goat judgment of Matthew 25. Okay, back to our arrival in heaven as told by Daniel of his vision, still in chapter 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming with the clouds of heaven, that's us, came to the Ancient of Days, again the Father, and they brought him, that's Jesus, near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. You see, as soon as we get there, he is crowned king, as confirmed when you read Revelation 4 and 5. Then it goes on to say that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Of course, when we return to Revelation 19. Anyway, his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Those are wonderful words, people. I hope you take them to heart, because I'm sure looking forward to that. But now I just want to ask you, if you can actually say these words that Paul says in Timothy 4, 7, and 8. This is Paul's valedictorian close, is what I'm thinking. It's getting just before he dies, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And I ask you, saints, can you really say that? Can you really say you've fought the good fight and you have finished the race that he's put before you? Have you kept the faith no matter what you go through? Because these times are tough. And if so, if you're looking for his return, that crown of righteousness will be given to you when you meet the Ancient of Days that we just read about in Daniel 7. So, let's be sure that you don't have just a mind salvation. Make sure it's a personal relationship with the real Jesus. And if you're not sure, maybe you're living in sin. Maybe you're fornicating and living with someone and having sex without marriage. That's still a sin. Maybe you're addicted to drugs or alcohol. And again, sexual lifestyle is just not in God's book. So, begin all over again. Get on your knees and really repent for your sins individually, and then ask him into your heart. We're running out of time. There's still time for you, but you better do it today. And saints, if you're listening to me and you've got loved ones that are still unsaved, besides just praying for them, ask them again, are you sure you don't want to make sure that you're going to heaven when it's your time? And now I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yivrekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav aleka v'yuneka, Yaseh Adonai panav aleka v'yisem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. He really will. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And he really is. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you, and he'll give you that shalom, that peace that passes all understanding. Just trust in him. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And that, of course, comes from Psalm 122, verse 6. Have a blessed week. Witness to someone. And then don't forget to tune us in again next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. God bless.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.